glad they're down in this area for a few days, and I'm glad they got to come by and see us. See, thank you so
thank
much.
You, my brother.
Appreciate you.
That's your water.
Thank you. Well, y'all can be turning to the book of the Gospel of John. I'm going to preach 20 chapters tonight. No, I'm going to preach the last chapter. Amen? All righty. Great singing. Great song leader. I can sing with him. Amen? I can sing with him, but he's really good. Amen? But I really enjoy the singing. When we pulled up in the same, I get that same parking spot. Is my name on it? Something? If it's in chalk, I'll go out there and reiterate it once in a while. But I get that same one. I said, I'm pulled up to one of my favorite places to go to church in America. Amen? I mean that with all my heart. And we love this place, and y'all have always treated us just like country folk. Amen? Yeah, because are y'all country folk? That's what I thought. That's why we get along so good. Amen? Y'all don't mind my jargon. Y'all don't mind my y'alls. And y'all don't mind my double, triple negatives that I say sometimes. I remember the first time I preached was in Chattanooga. I didn't even know what it was called. And I had been a homeless class. And so they said, Brother Powers said, you've got to preach next season. I said, my goodness, sounds like sacrilege. I'm just down here trying to find the will of God. But anyhow, the Lord blessed. He got up and he said, oh, I said, great talk line, great. Oh, he said, but you destroyed the King's English. And I said, Brother Dykes, I said, where I'm from, they don't know the King's English. Amen? But I'm sure some of y'all do. Chapter 21 tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've had it on my heart and been trying to run through this some. I can honestly say I envy preachers that are so organized, really, that they know exactly what they're going to say. I have no idea tonight what all's going to come out of this. But we hope and pray that it'll be all the Word of God. Let's begin in chapter 21 in verse number 1. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Thou were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. If you didn't have time to count that, that's seven. Seven out of 11 disciples were there. And Simon Peter said unto them, all seven of them, or all six of them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. A long conversation there was. Made up their mind quite quickly. That I don't know why that they, I've heard all the different reasons why that they want to go fishing. And all of them sound plausible, but whatever it was, it was really like a good church here. They was all in agreement. They all going fishing. Amen? And the Bible said that they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. That sounds like my fishing career. Amen? I seldom catch anything. The Bible said, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I like this. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, children, have you any meat or have you any food? And they answered him, well, this is the answer. No. No. Do you see any fish? No. Amen. And he said to them, well, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Isn't it amazing how things turn around when Jesus shows up? Church service can be deader than last year's bird's nest. Amen? And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will touch one saint's heart, and that thing will begin to drift, praise God, and begin. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's amazing what Jesus can do for a church service. It's amazing what Jesus can do for a fishing trip. It's amazing what Jesus can do with the trip that you and I are on going to heaven. And we ought to be more excited about how this trip is going. I tell you one thing, we're getting closer to the destination that we're looking for every single day. And the Bible said, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. I believe that's the way he said it. I mean, maybe more. It's the Lord. Fishing's gone out the window, praise God. Amen. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded or he put on his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself, or he jumped into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon. They've been out all night looking for fish, and they're already frying in the pan. Amen? They're already in the skillet. The bread's already been provided. Jesus said to him, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said to him, come and dine. And another disciple just asked him, who are you or who art thou? Knowing that what? It was who John said it was. It is the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the thrill that it gives us. Lord, as thoughts jump off of your pages of this great book, Lord, that we've had the privilege for 53 years to hold in our hands and digest, Lord, and we can never get enough of it. And I ask you, Lord, for hungry hearts tonight for your word. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that we tonight will not, Lord, let them leave empty. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you, your Son, Jesus, will be exalted. And that we will put center focus and all of our thoughts upon him tonight, knowing, oh God, your God the Father, knowing that your Son makes all the difference. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A couple little odd facts. This is the last chapter of the Gospel of John. I can't go off all the story, but I'm going to stop right here. But John's Gospel, John ends different than the other three. Matter of fact, Mark and Luke end with the same subject, and it's the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you tie what he says in Mark chapter 16, I believe it's verse number 19 and verse number 20, that Matthew gives the same words of the Great Commission that were said at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's as though that the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they end with an ascension. They end that way with the ascending Christ going to heaven. And that he said that he would what? He would return. But when we come to the Gospel of John, this is totally different how that John ends this book. It's almost as though that the first three was saying there's just going to be this ascension of, but one day Christ is going to come and all the church is going to be taken home. But this story is almost like that Jesus comes and has come to help his people, to feed his people, and for his preachers and his people to love the Lord Jesus. And that's the only way that we'll ever have a ministry if we love the Lord more than we love other people and ourselves. Getting our love right with God and right with Christ will help us a long way in loving people as we ought to. And so we find that this book ends with the second coming. He says, and until I come, he said. It's not, I'm going away. We don't exactly know when it's happened. John says it's the third time. that he had appeared to them, and I'm of the opinion that he didn't appear a lot to them. He did not come and just stay with them. He didn't sleep with them. He didn't eat with them. He wasn't there all 24 hours a day, the 40 days. He just came and appeared on occasion. He would just show up when they weren't expecting it. And he would do things. By the way, the last miracle that Jesus did was after his resurrection is this miracle here of causing these fish to jump in this net and for Peter to catch something after they all fished all night and couldn't catch anything. I always love this story, Brother Tim. I love it because this is so simple, and yet it makes us wonder, why did God get him to fix this book that John wrote that had so much in it and had all the great miracles, many miracles, but he comes down, and the last one is that he's catching poor, helpless fishermen to catch 153 great fishes. Well, there's a lot of connections with this thing. The fifth chapter of the book of Luke is kind of like the first one, when Jesus first called Peter and called him into the ministry. They couldn't catch no that fish no night either. That was some of that broken up English, wasn't it? Amen? They could not catch any fish. See, I know English, I just can't speak it. Amen? I made hundreds in English, literally. And I forget all that when I get to preaching. Amen? Are y'all understand everything I'm saying tonight? Have I been crystal clear? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad of that. All right. So this book here is different. And it starts out, and there's these connections between this story. Peter first gets called into the ministry. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a wicked sinner." And he said, "You're not going to be fishers of fish no more, Peter. You're going to be a fisher of who? Men." And now the story ends up. One of the last things he tells Peter, "Peter, I'm going to help you catch fish again, because the same thing that I told you in Luke 5 is what I want you to do in John 21. I don't want you fishing for fish. I want you fishing for men. I don't want you distracted. I don't want you to worry about your job more than you worry about my job for you. I have found over the years if we will take care of God's job, He will take care of us." D.L. Moody said it this way. He told the Lord, he said, "Lord, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours." I think we ought to put it maybe, "I'll take care of the Lord's business, and then the Lord will take care of mine." Amen? Don't you believe we can trust Him? Well, that's weak. All right, get really full of faith here. Don't we really believe we can trust Jesus with our living? Has any of His brethren starved to death being in the ministry? I've come close a time or two that I ate the same meal for dinner, but you know what? It filled me up just as much as all that other things that I ate all the time. I'm simply saying, folks, that the Lord has been good to us. He can be trusted to take care of us. Now, these stories are all interrelated. Their answer with same answer is, "Did you catch any fish?" And he said, "No." He said, "Well, cast it toward the shore." There in Luke chapter 5, he said, "Cast it into the, go out in the deep and cast it down." Here he tells them, "Throw it on the right side. Throw it toward the shore." They're only 100 yards from the bank. Amen. The water is not that deep. How many of y'all know that you catch a lot of fish more out in the deeper water? Amen. And yet we find that he turns this around, but he's saying, "No matter how I tell you to cast the net, whether it's in the deep or in the shallow, you'll catch fish if I'm in the arrangement." And folks, if we apply this to spiritual things, we should have more victory in this thing than we do. You say, "Well, I can't save anybody." Well, you can't catch any fish either. We are as helpless as Peter was in this fishing business. And when you apply this to soul winning or whatever you want to call it. And you find that in the first one in Luke, they didn't count the fishes. Amen? Think about that. They didn't even count them. In the first one, the net broke. But in this one, the net doesn't break, and they counted them. Someone said, wonder why? Because these fish got home. And there's no need for us to be counting how many people have been saved here. The count is going to be corrected when we all get to the other side. And there's no need to count fish down here. And there's no need to count how many souls that you've led to Christ. Because I got news for you. You haven't led anybody to Christ. You might have gotten their way. We do not lead men to Christ. The Holy Ghost of God leads men to Christ. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our witnessing, there will be no work done, because He wants all the glory and He deserves all the glory. This bragging Baptist, their brag boards they have about how many, they tell how many hands was raised and how many did this and how many was saved this week. And they don't tell you their baptisms. Because most of the time they don't line up so hot, Brother Tim. 1,000 saved and 10 baptized. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter how we count fish down here. It doesn't matter how we count souls down here. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm saying it because I believe with all my heart. I'm sick of this Baptist brag. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. We was in a meeting last week, and they were good men, and they said, everybody wants the preacher to get up and say just a few things about their ministry. And it got into a brag session. Yeah. I've been here, and I've done this, and I've done that. And I said, Lord God, I said, I don't know what to say when it comes to me. And finally it came to me, and I said, well, I don't much care a whole lot about talking about myself, but I'll tell you one thing. I ain't done nothing. I haven't done nothing. But my God, in spite of me, has done many, no doubt, things that I'm not even aware of. We sometimes don't see all the results that we want to see with the natural eye. But I wonder, God's keeping the count. God knows the count. And they'll all be counted when they get home. One of these days, God will stand up and probably say, maybe there's 10 million, billion, zillion people here because of my Son, the Lord Jesus, and heaven will roar and say, but we all got here one way. Amen. We all came through Christ. We all came through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. We were led all the way to Jesus. Quit this Baptist bragging. I think this is on the internet. I usually watch what I say on the internet, but I don't want to watch tonight. Quit this stuff, this side. Well, notice how it's wrote here. Now, verse 2, and I'm just going to hit a thought or two, because I basically have probably said what I come here to say. Then, there were together Simon Peter. And then notice how that the Holy Spirit of God causes John to, and then Thomas. Who were the two disciples that had the worst problem at the crucifixion and the resurrection? It was Peter that denied his Lord 3 times, even though he said he never would. Be careful what you say, because most of what you say you're going to do when you say you're not going to do. And you know what he did? And by the way, I'm not worthy to clean the sandals, praise God, of the apostle. But listen, folks, he denied the authority of God's word when he said, if everybody else lead you, he said, I'm not going to deny you. And the authoritative word of God, the very essence of God's word, was standing and talking to him, and he denied the authority of God's word.
And the great chief problem of the church today is that we deny the authority of the Word of God to tell us what to do. We think the preachers tell us. Listen, folks, nobody listens to me. Nobody listens, brother. I'm sorry, Brother Tim. Nobody listens to Brother Tim. The only time they really hear and really get some good out of what he says is when you and I, or who it is, recognizes the authority of the Word of God that he preaches, and that's the only reason why we ought to do what we're supposed to do. Not because of the preacher, but because of the authority of the Word of God that he preaches. So he lines them up. He said, I know what they're going to do when they get down there. And so he says, Simon Peter, you're a pretty good failure in the crucifixion. And Thomas, you didn't show up for church. Amen. You laid out that Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever it was. And they had saw the Lord, and he let them put his hand in his side. Praise God. I don't know that any of them did. He said, but he invited them to. And old Thomas said, Except if I see him with my own eyes and touch him, I won't believe. Well, that ain't faith. Faith is not what you see. Faith is what you believe. And you trust. But finally, old Thomas gets to have his time. Oh, isn't the Lord so gracious to put up with stupid people like us? Slow. We ought to be slow to anger. We're fast to anger. Amen. But so slow. Hasn't he done enough to prove that what he says will come true? If we'll only believe. Amen. So here is Simon Peter and Didymus and Nathaniel, and of course you have the sons of Zebedee. They were the ones that had the Zebedee fishing company. They were partners with Peter. And amen. The Zebedee something, I guess that's what they called it. They had a boat and they fished together. They were even kin to each other. As far as they tell me, I don't know. I never did run a genealogical tree on it. I don't know how we'd ever know that for sure, but they were very, very close. And then there were two of them, and we don't know who they are. Now, there's four that are missing. Now, I assume that because of where they were, and what did Jesus say? Go down to Galilee, and I'll meet you there, and stay there till I come. Amen? That's what he told them. And here Peter goes down to Galilee. Six others. And he go down and he's waiting around. Jesus hadn't come yet. And everybody else ain't there. And Peter, let me tell you, Peter was a go-getter. If he was going to kill a fly, he would take a howitzer or something like that. And, he was energetic. He was gung-ho. And finally, Peter says, I'm going to fish. Now, why, I don't know. Maybe he got tired of waiting. I don't know. But he wasn't told to go fishing. He was told to wait. How many of y'all like waiting? I say this on my 50th anniversary. I say this. How many of y'all like waiting for your wife to get ready? Now, at my house, it's sometimes the opposite. She's waiting on me to get ready. Amen? Amen? Because I'm studying right to the very end before I go to church. And then I had to jump in the shower and do all that stuff. But I'm simply saying, the waiting is hard to do. I don't like waiting, do you? We want it, then we want it right now. And for whatever reason, he leads these men into this. And the Bible said they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Man, they didn't even wait to think about it. They didn't even pray about it. They didn't even... Or said, well, what should we do this? They all agreed, let's go fishing. Amen. The four are not there. I assume they haven't got there yet. And I assume that Jesus was probably, no doubt, knew that they weren't there. Don't you believe he might have knew that? And yet, in his grace, He has these 7 little sheep. They got to get on the boat, and they got to do something, because they can't be still. And they get out there to fish all night, and all night they do nothing, doing nothing. And how many times have I and all of us got ahead of God because we wasn't willing to wait to hear from Him? There was a dear old man years ago, they told me, that they called on him to pray, Brother Tim. And they said, "Brothers, would you pray?" And he just nodded his head. And he said it just went for like, seemed like it was 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. He hadn't said a word. And said everybody was kind of looking around and said, did he hear what he's supposed to? And then they said, he said, "Father." And then he said he went 2 or 3 more minutes and he didn't say a word. And he said, "Oh, Lord God, my Father." And then he hesitated. And they said, then the man began to talk like he was talking face to face with Almighty God, and said that heaven came in that place because this man. And they asked him, said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "I have to wait. God, we don't run in on God. We get allowed into His throne." Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You didn't interrupt my dad talking. Now, he would have lied you out. Amen. If you just jumped in and wanted to do your thing, I'm telling you, folks, I have a lot to learn. And I believe all of us in here tonight have a lot to learn about how that we wait on the Lord. But Peter wasn't willing to wait. He said, "I'm going to fish." But he hadn't learned anything about us. And now the Lord's going to let him go through the same thing. And he's going to teach him that you can't do anything. Now I want you to notice something here. He said, "Children, have you any meat? Have you caught any fish?" And they answered him, "No." And he said, "Well, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find them. You shall find." Now that was a promise. The Bible said they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, I want you to notice something that I had kind of missed. I'm a little dense, but I kind of missed this. But they didn't know who was on the shore. And that stranger to them that was on that shore told them, and they fished all night, "Throw it on the right side, and you shall find." And they did it for the 10. Hadn't they heard something like that before? Cast it on the other side, into the deep. And yet they, at this point in time, could not recognize him. Now, one commentator said that more than likely he was like the man Jesus in some ways, but there was so much God now that they didn't recognize him as he was in his human form when he was here the first time. And I believe that's right, because he chose to reveal to them. But I want you to notice something. The Bible said that they cast, and all of a sudden what they could not do, they could do. And there was one, John was always that one that was the most spiritual. He was the one that always stayed the nearest to the Lord. He was the nearest at the cross. He was the nearest in Pilate's hall. And there, he was there with... He was there in the Pilate's hall. He was there at the tomb. He was the first disciple that believed that Jesus was resurrected. And all of a sudden, when he saw those fishes, old John turned or hollered at Peter or all of them. He said, "It is the Lord." You see, folks, the reason why they had those fishes and fish in that fish ship was because it was the Lord that put them in that net. And we don't have anything to brag about. Here I go again. So if I got a title here, quit your bragging. The end. I told you that part too. Folks, we don't have anything to brag about. This thing is of God. It is the Lord. Now let me just say this. It is the Lord when you're having the worst day of your life. It is the Lord that allowed that. The day that you're having the best day of your life, it is the Lord that allowed it. The days that you are preaching and you're witnessing and you cannot seem to get to second base, it is the Lord that moves those men. It is the Lord's. It is our job to witness. It is our job to believe the authority of the Word of God and to go into all the world and tell people about Jesus. But it is not my job to lead them to Christ. It is the Holy Ghost's job. You say, well, don't you believe and give them the Scripture? I've already been preaching half the night already. That's the authoritative thing. Nobody's going to believe it unless they see it as the authoritative thing. So we must use the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I'm just simply saying tonight that we have gotten in the wrong position and we have tried to become the Holy Ghost. And we're just not up to the job. Amen. You see, folks, can I go ahead and say this? We say, well, I tried to give him assurance. God help you. You can't give nobody assurance, but praise God, this book can. And the Holy Ghost of God working on this book. Yeah, after I got saved, somebody nosed into my salvation plan, and they didn't believe in the security of the believer, and they didn't believe that. They believed you had to be nervous going to heaven, had to take nerve pills all the time. It was one of my school teachers. I got saved when I was at the end of my junior year, and she said, she called me Doodle. She said, Doodle, she said, the only reason you believe that's because that's what they preached at your church. I said, no, it ain't. And she said, yeah, it is. I said, no, it ain't. Yes, she said. And when I went home, I said, maybe she's right. Maybe I'm just believing everything I'm hearing. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't believe everything you hear at every church. Folks, it's got to come out of this book. I don't care what the Baptists believe. If it's going to be right, it's got to come out of this book. It cannot deny one part of the book to help you along with your hobby horse doctrine that you've got. And I remember, Jeff, that for a month that I was reading that Bible and I was wondering which way was I on this thing. And I was even getting nervous myself a little bit. But one night, I got up and couldn't sleep. And I began to read an old brother John's epistles. And I read a verse of Scripture that just touched my heart. And you know what it was? We love Him. Because He first loved us. And the Holy Spirit said to me, why are you worried about what you couldn't do? You couldn't save yourself. That's what you told the Lord. The day I got saved, that's what I told Him. I can't save myself.
That's right.
But you can. And I believe you will. And I ask you to. Amen. You say, well, what else do you know? Nothing else. I knew that God was God. I knew that God could save my soul. I didn't know about justification. I didn't know like sanctification. And I didn't know about any clarification. But I knew there was a God in heaven that could do anything He wanted to do. And here was a sinner that had ever propped, knocked out from under me that he was leaning on. And he had nothing to do. Whoa, he had nothing to do but fall into the arms of the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You say, did the preacher do that? No, the Holy Ghost did that. God help us tonight. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Sure. God can take the Romans road. Why would I be again the Romans road? It's in Romans. I'm not again it. I'm not against John 3:16. Amen. I'm not getting any of it. I'm just simply saying, folks, it is the Lord. This church, I love this church. I mean that. I don't go around and tell other churches I love them. I really don't. It's not that I don't like them. I can't say that. But I love this church. And I'm going to tell you why. Because y'all believe in the authority of the Scripture. And to the very best of your ability, I believe that y'all want to know the truth. Because you know the truth can set you free. And my heart's desire is I don't want to stand in a pulpit and preach anything that's contrary to this book. I don't want to have anything in my life that is contrary to this book. And sometimes I wrestle and I argue with God, but eventually I come to my senses like Peter did, and I say, it's the Lord's. He's the boss. We're not the boss. We're not His employee. We're His children. Hallelujah. We're the sheep of His fold. We're the apple of His eye. I'm going to tell you something else. I have these grandbabies and these great-grandbabies. And I'll tell you one thing. If I'm around, I don't care whether it's a grizzly bear or it's Jumbo the whale. I'm going to stand between them and my grandchildren and my grandbabies. And if it kills me, that'll be all right. I'll get to go to heaven. Amen? But I'm simply saying this, folks. It is of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we don't perish. That we're just thrown aside. Well, Peter is that one that is the energetic one. And when he said, it's the Lord, he grabs a coat. The Bible said he was naked. I have no idea what the total condition of. But there's a lot of people in America that go around in public all day naked. Amen?
Absolutely.
I knew that would really rise and fall. But it's the truth. Amen? It's the truth. And he puts his coat around him. And I heard one theory one time, a good preacher, he said that Peter here was trying to commit suicide. I said, he's got a doctor's degree, and he's gone to heaven now. I'm sure he got straightened out up there. You know why I think he put the coat on? He said, well, he drowned in a fisher's coat. Well, it didn't say he put it over the total part of his body, but I think he did put it over the most important one, so when he did, and he could have swam, and he did swim because he got to the shore. And I believe he reverenced God. He reverenced us. He didn't want to come before the Lord in the condition that the Lord had found him in.
Right.
On that ship. And I'm sure that may have been something that fishermen did, that they stripped themselves of most of their clothing. Amen? I don't know. I'd have to surmise, and I've heard worlds of that in preaching. A lot of evil surmising. Now, evil doesn't mean sinful. It just means bad. Sometimes it just means bad. I think I went there a time or two myself. Amen? And so he cast himself in the sea, and the other disciples came, and the Bible said that they were just 200 cubits or 100 yards off the shore. And this little boat they had, what they call a punt boat, was there that they had kind of close at hand. And so they couldn't pull the fish in the bigger boat. They couldn't get them up. They were so big and so many of them. And so this little boat comes around and they tied to that boat. And the big boat couldn't get that close to the shore because it's too shallow. And so what do? They get this little boat. And can you see them coming out of those six? And old Peter's over there. He's not even paying a bit of attention, I don't believe, to a fish. Do you? I believe he's in the glory world. Amen. I believe he's excited. And the Bible said as soon as they came to land, that old Peter went over, and what they couldn't do, this is amazing. I saw this years ago, Brother Tim. They couldn't handle these fish. All six of them couldn't handle these fish. And old Peter gets so excited, and he must have had an adrenaline spell, praise God, or miraculously. He grabs that thing, and the Bible said he pulled it to shore. Huh? Can I say to you, have you ever knew sometimes that you would try to tempt something for God that you just didn't know how it turned out, but you knew it was the will of God. And you know what? God gave us power beyond measure. Power. You're looking at one of the weakest people in all the world. I'm looking at some of the weakest people in all the world. There's a God. It is the Lord. I didn't come here to talk about the Baptist, and I didn't come here to talk about you, and I just didn't come here to talk to you. But I came here to talk about Him tonight. Because He's the biggest thing that I have in my life. I don't have no treasury. I don't have nothing. I don't even own a house. I get to live in one the rest of my life, but I don't own a house. But I don't need one here because I got one there. And the house that I've got is great, one. Amen. And I'm not worried about what's going on here. But oh, praise God. Let us get to worrying about what's going on that we're missing right now. Amen. And we're going to get there. I'm going to close. And He said, bring you the fish that you've caught. And then the Bible said, and I'll close with this in verse 13, then Jesus coming taketh or took the bread, and He giveth them, and fish likewise. All those fish in that net, 153 of them. Can you see them there laying on that bank? That's what they came after that night. And they got the desire of their heart. And God in His mercy gave them 153 fish. But the best fish that they got that morning was when they got to sit down and eat those fish. And Jesus came. Can you imagine this? The resurrected Christ. The resurrected God. He wasn't dead. Amen. But the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus, girds Himself and feeds these disciples. Why'd He do that? I don't have time. What's the next thing He says? Peter, do you love me? Yeah. He said, well, then feed my sheep. What was this? It was a show and tell. Peter, all seven of y'all been out here not doing what I told you to do. But I want to tell you something. I still love you. And you're a mess. And all my little sheep are messes. And we're failures. And we're the weakest of the weak. And we're the lowest of the low. But God takes the things of this world that count and He throws them away. And He takes the weak things as well to prove that there's a mighty God that can do great things through little people. And He gives the glory. And I say tonight as I close, praise God. Let's quit the bragging. Let's quit talking about what we're going to do. And let the authoritative Word of God tell us what to do. Get about God's business. And then let God work through that to bring glory to His name. And if we do that, we can please the Lord. But if we don't do that, we're not going to please Him. Father, thank You for this good audience tonight, this good congregation. Thank You for this good church. Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your mercy to me, Lord. How merciful that You have been. How kind that You have been to such a failure. But I give You all the glory tonight, Lord. It is You. It is You. Just You. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tim.